complainers. They were a group of negative ninnies. They were a group of people that saw the bad side to everything all the time. They were a group of people that time and time again allowed their circumstances to cloud their thoughts about God. They were a group of people that could be rejoicing in one moment, and then the next they have nothing to give God glory for. They could have just received manna from God and then in a little while be complaining about what they see as another issue of being out of Egypt. These people were saved from Egypt. These people were saved from Egypt, which is a type of sin, a type of the world, and yet while saved, they could not live in faith. While set free, they could only see problems rather than potential. I gotta stop there for a moment. Your problem is an opportunity for God to bring out the best potential on the inside of you. I don't know if you heard Sister Barlow's 6-0 last night, but I watched it and she said there is purpose to your pain. Oh, what would happen if you would begin to thank God for the trials, because you know there must be something about to happen in my life. I'm not gonna let this trial take me down. I'm gonna let this trial take me higher. I give God glory for every test, every trial, because I know he's working it out for my good. All things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are the called. If you are the called, you're going somewhere. If you are the called, there ain't nothing the devil can do to you. Let your problem say, I'm going yet. Praise the Lord. While saved, their present place, they focus on what they didn't have rather than where they were going to and what they were going to be getting. I'm going to say that one again. They were saved and they did not have the perspective of realizing that things might be bad now, but where I am now is not where I'm always going to be. God didn't call me out of Egypt to keep me in a wilderness. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. So it might be hot right now. That's all right. There's a place that I'm going to be singing and dancing and rejoicing. I'm going to live in houses I didn't build. I'm going to drink of vineyards I didn't plant. Yeah, I know it's hot right now, but we ain't done yet. Let me tell somebody right now in the house of God, you might be going through a fiery trial. Get ready, because God's about to do something mighty in your life. Give God praise for what he's about to do. They could only focus on the present place rather on the promised plateau. Come on, look over the other side of Jordan. God got some rivers for you to cross and some mountains to climb and some demons to defeat. Now they were no longer bound by the physical place of Egypt, but they were still bound by the same slave mentality. You can come into the church and God has delivered you from sin, but you have not allowed your mind to be the mind of Christ. And you keep picking up old things that God says you don't have to go back to that old lifestyle, the old thoughts anymore. You got to start looking to where I'm trying to take you and give me praise in the middle of it. Because when you have the kind of mentality that the Israelites had, that mentality was a mentality that caused them to say things like, is the Lord among us or not? It caused them to say things like, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to the land to let us die by the sword, to fall by the sword? Why is our wives and our children going to be taken as slaves and plundered? Wouldn't it have been better for us just to stay in the land of Egypt? They served a God that had just brought brought them up out of bondage and saved them from their greatest enemy, but yet they weren't able to believe that he could not keep them until he got them where he intended for them to be. Let me tell somebody right now, don't you go back to thinking that the devil has something better for you, because God has not brought you to the place that he wants to take you. What you either say is, I might not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I know everything is not all done correctly just yet. I have not got all my ends in order yet, but if you knew where I had been and where I am now, you would be praising God with me. Yeah, I got some issues I'm still dealing with, but I come a mighty, mighty long way. Is there anybody here that know a word got a hold of you and you're not the same anymore, and something is pushing you that if I stay in this thing, God go take me further? I can look back and see where he's brought me from, and it excites me of where I'm going. Did you see the things that God did? Did you see all the frogs, the flies, the lice? Did you see darkness come in the middle of the day? Did you see how we put blood on the doorpost and the angel passed us by? But yet Pharaoh in all his glory had to cry that night because his son died. Did you not see how God parted the Red Sea? If God could do all that, what else is God going to do? If God can open up those doors, what else? What else? I'm ready for it. I want it. I'm going after it. I desire the blessings and the favor of Almighty God. And if we pay attention, we see how today's church can be the same way as those Israelites. God has saved us. God has redeemed us. God has set us free from the bondage of sin, and yet we have a hard time believing and walking in other things that God has for us. I don't make slight to this, but I'm thankful for all of you that were former alcoholics. I'm thankful for all of you that no longer are addicted by nicotine. I'm thankful for you that don't party and dance and carry on at night. I'm thankful that many of you have been delivered from drugs. Many of you have come out of prisons and are preaching the word of God today. Many of you are saints of Almighty God, and God has delivered you from a major sin. Can I tell you, if God can do that, I'm thankful for it. But that lets you know, what else, what else, what else can God do for your life? Don't you get satisfied from where God has brought you. God said, I only did that to show you how far I can absolutely take you. Don't you just only praise me for the past, but praise me for where you're going. Come on, somebody, praise me for where I'm about to go. I can't just praise God for what's happened behind me. I look to what's before me. I forget those things which are behind me. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I have not yet apprehended. There's more anointing. There's more favor. There's more power. There's more healing. There's more salvation. God is just getting started. We had better be careful of setting up too many monuments and then not progressing to what else. Every monument is only to remind you of how big your God is. And if he did that, he'll do this. So what is your this? If God did that, he can do what you're this. As we look at the whole congregation of Israel, 99% didn't believe in God by their words and by their actions. But there was one named Joshua who did. With all those that didn't believe, I wondered how, what made him so different. I have preached so many times on Joshua. I've seen his zeal and his passion. We all know that he was the one that was the successor of Moses. We know that he was the one that crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. We know that he was the one that led the nation to believe and to walk around the walls of Jericho in faith and then shout in advance for victory. Let me tell you, that's not original with us. We got that from Joshua. He says, why are we going to wait till the battle is over? I'm going to shout right now. If you got a barrier in your way, if you got an unconquerable mountain in front of you, you got a wall that's trying to hinder you from your progression, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout right now. Say, I'm going to say hallelujah until that wall comes down. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, before it ever happens. I'm going to say I'm already healed, though I feel pain in my body. I'm going to already say my son or daughter is already coming back home. In fact, before they ever get here, I'm going to say thank you for what you're going to do. Before they ever walk through the doors, repent of their sins, crying down their eyes, I'm already thanking you like it's already happened, because I know what my God can do, and there is nothing too hard for my God. So you go hear me say hallelujah. You go hear me walk around the wall. You go hear me stomping my feet. Hey, somebody, I know what my God can do. We know that it was Joshua, the one that had the strategies from God and how to conquer the strong and fortified cities. We know that he was the one that refused to stop fighting when he was winning in the battle and night was coming, and he wanted to keep on fighting until they had complete victory. And he prayed a bold prayer that had never been prayed before. He said, Lord, I'm asking you, cause the sun to stand still. And again, if you saw our Facebook Live while we were in Miami, it was so fast how that sun rose from the water. I didn't think it would happen so quickly. But you know, the Lord said, I'm going to agree with you, Joshua. I know how fast the sun can rise. But because you got something on the inside of you that gives the Joshua principle, I call it, that even though I'm having momentum and even though I'm moving forward, this ain't no time to take a break. God, I know I'm already winning. God, I already see the enemy is retreating. I feel the Holy Ghost right now in some of your lives. You've been making so many strides, so many progression, and the devil would say, come on, hold on, I'm backing up, and the majority of people, well, I'll deal with him tomorrow. I have the advantage. I'll let him get a break and regroup. Joshua said, nah, not me. God, you will have to keep that sun up, because while the momentum's going, let it keep on going. While the wave's coming in, keep on moving in. So he right now, you better ride the wave of momentum that God has given you and tell the devil, I'm not going to stop until I get complete victory. Oh, yeah, I feel something right now moving in my spirit. There's somebody here that's been going forward and forward, and the devil says, all right, hold on a second. Let me catch my breath. And up to this point, you go ahead and you put the brakes on and you eased up. I want to tell somebody right now, now's the time to pray. Now it's time to fast and declare, I'm going to go harder now. I'm going to go fighter now. I'm going to get more crazier now. I'm on the move. I ain't going to stop. I'm moving forward. Cause the moon to stand still. Do not be satisfied until you've received complete victory. I know you got momentum. You ain't done yet. I know you grown. You're not done yet. I know you're shouting dance. You're not done yet. I know you read your word. You're not done yet. God still has more things for you to conquer. It is not enough to say, I've conquered the majority of my problems since I've been in the house of God. What happened to the king when Elijah said, smite the ground three times, or smite the ground, the arrows? He only submitted three times. And the man of God was angry, furious. Why did you not smite it 5 or 6 times? Wow, you had the momentum. Why don't you go harder? Put the pedal to the metal. Stop playing around. God has more things for you. Don't let up. It's time to pray and fast like never before for our breakthroughs. Don't go in cruise control mode. As we see the congregation build, don't you let up. Oh, thank God for more people. Okay, somebody else will handle it. You better grab the wheel and say, it's mine. It's my revival. It's my church. It's my prayer. Come on, somebody stand on your feet and say, I'm going to bring revival. I am revival. I am the catalyst. I got the calling. I got the anointing. I got the prayer. If it's a beat, it's up to me. I'm going to be here. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to give. I'm going to sacrifice. It is time for the sun to stand still and the moon as well. And it's going to be me. Somebody say, it's going to be me. Don't say. You can be seated. I ain't done, y'all. I'm warming up. I don't want to hear myself say, well, I don't nearly have as many habits as I used to have. I think I can just take a break here. Because the enemy has seen how much I progress, and he'll just kind of fade away. Again, I say yes and thankful for where God has brought us. But I got to start saying there's still more that needs to be done in my life. There's some secret areas in my heart. Oh, Lord, created me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. God, I've grown, I've progressed, there's a fire in my soul. But God, there's still some human issues I deal with. There's still some pride I gotta deal with. There's still some animosity things I have. There's still some strongholds. And God, I know I've been making progress. But God, keep on working on me. I'm not there yet. God, I still humble myself. God, I still come to an altar. I still do whatever it takes. Because God, I still need more, more, more. Jesus, more, more you. I need so much more. Lord, I need more of you. Yes, whatever you want to do in my life, I want more of you. So when we see Joshua, we see one that not only led his people into the promised land, but he also was the one that gave each of them their particular plots of land. He made sure, not only am I going to get you over the main obstacles, I am going to ensure you get every bit of territory that God has promised for you. I am not going to be satisfied with saying, well, we crossed over the river. He said, no, no, no. Not only am I going to take you to your destination, I'm going to make sure you claim your destination. I speak that word into somebody. God is saying, I want you to be a leader that says, I don't want to lead you to your destination. I want you to inhabit your destiny. The goal of me and my wife together as a team, we want to bring the absolute best out of you. That's my responsibility, that you become a demon killer. Little Christian, we're not done until you're casting out devils in the name of Jesus. We're not done until you go into the lands where women are abused and hurting. And you say, I've been there. And God called me. And God anointed me. You too, Gary Donna. God has something for you to do. Come on, somebody. Beth, you know it's all over you. If you knew her story, let me tell somebody. God's bringing you to your destination so you can take somebody else to their destination. My goal, my responsibility, Brother Haddock, I want the best for you, Sister Donna, Brother Lawson, everybody here. I don't want to miss not one name. Everybody here, God wants to put the best in you, the greatest potential in this house. Everything that God wants, we want. And that's the kind of man, the kind of leader that Joshua was. I want this church to say, I'm not satisfied crossing the River Jordan. I still think we're in our wilderness. I think we have not scratched the surface. I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. Does anybody feel that way? I know we had ups and downs, but look what God does. Come on, somebody. Don't you get this. Be not weary in well-doing. We're going to read. If we faint not. In that scripture, Proverbs 24:10. Woo. The weak run in adversity. We're not weak. We still have adversity. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We're not going to cower when people leave. We're not going to talk bad about them either. We're just not going to faint. We're going to just do what God called us to do. Because God has something for us. And what God has for us is for us. I'm going to grab it. What other enemies do you have yet to conquer? Not to face, to conquer. You're going to face in life adversity. So the question is not, am I going to find adversity? The question is, who's next? Who's my next opponent? I hate to be carnal, but they come on mind. I got to say it. Do you remember when Mike Tyson was in his heyday? Who's next? You get knocked out. Well, same in the kingdom of God. When you face an adversity, it's more, who's next? Greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. So what Joshua put in his people was not that you're not going to have adversities. It was you're about to conquer more land. See where you are. Look at them and tell them, it's time to go. It's time for my territory to be enlarged. You used to have my family, not anymore. You used to have my money, not anymore. You used to have my mind, not anymore. You used to have my joy, not anymore. You used to have my peace, not anymore. Joshua has brought me here, and Joshua has put a fight in my spirit, and every devil in hell has to get out of my way until I possess what God says is mine. Not only did Joshua have a fighting side, he also had a side that refused. It's the part we don't want to talk about, but we got to talk about it today. Yes, he was a fighter, but the other side we don't talk about is that Joshua refused to get mixed up in the negativity of what was going on around him. Where's Moses for 40 days? Where's this man of God? He's left us. All the murmuring, all the complaining they had. You never seen Joshua among the majority. It's easy to find negativity. I taught you guys this. I'm saying it again if you haven't heard it before. If you put blue glasses on, everything you're going to see is blue. You put the glasses on. So you want to see negativity? I promise you, you will see it in this church, in your pastor, in the people. If you miss Sunday school, let me tell you what I tell them. People are pitiful. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. I said, this is not a perfect people's club. If you think it is, you will be up. Straight frustrated in this church. But if you realize we are not a perfect people's club, but a hospital, you'll fit right in. You're not surprised we go to the hospital and somebody's coughing, somebody's sick, somebody's nasty looking. It's a hospital. What you expect? So this church is a hospital. There's some messed up people in the four doors of this house. And I love you. And you love me. Somebody say amen. Amen. But he said something. He said, you might do it. My peers might do it. Others might do it. But I refuse to live in amongst the people of negativity. So if you pay attention to the word of God, when Moses was up in the mountain and the people were acting a fool on the valley, Joshua was in the middle. He was at the halfway point. Watch this. He wasn't on the level of Moses, but refused to be among the foolishness of the people. So I might not be A, B, C, D, E, F, G person. I might not be on the mountaintop getting all the revelation. I might not be that main person. But what I refuse to be is amongst the negative people in the church. I refuse to walk in negativity. I'll find the good side of something. Man, she sang off key, but don't you sound praises unto the Lord. You got to find something good in everything you see wrong. For every one thing you see wrong, count 10 that's right. For everything you see upside down, count 20. Oh, look what God is doing. Look at this thing. Look at that thing. I'm not going to focus on the negative. Where does the negative get you anyways? Dead in the wilderness. Now, you may not be on your mountaintop, but don't lower yourself to the limited mindset of your peers. Like Joshua, you must stay between the mountain and the valley before you get to your destination. Joshua would have never crossed over if he was amongst the murmurers. Now, when you're focused on higher things, you won't get caught up in other people's messes. Watch this. When Joshua heard the noise of the people, we find out where his heart really was by the statement he made. Exodus 32:17. I want you to watch this. Exodus 32:17. He heard the noise going on. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, when Moses was on his way down, Joshua said, there is a noise of war in the camp. Moses says, no, it's not noise of a war. But Joshua heard it as such. Why? Because by nature, Joshua was a warrior. By nature, Joshua was saying, anything that wants to fight and come against the things of God, I'm ready to fight. So every sound he heard, even though he was wrong, was about fighting because he was a warrior. We see the spirit of Joshua. Stay with me. Think about when the angel came to him in Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua was ready to fight. And Joshua went to him and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? I'm about to take anything out that ain't of God. You see his mentality? Strangers would come to him and he gets his sword out. He hears a noise of a war when there was no war going on. The first time his name is mentioned, Exodus 17:8. Then Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse 9 of Exodus 17. And Moses said unto Joshua, first time we hear his name, choose out men and go fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Who did Moses call? Joshua to fight? He even fought when Moses' hands got tired. You know the story, when Moses' hands got tired, they begin to lose. Did Joshua start to curse Moses? Joshua didn't curse Moses, even though Moses, keep your hands up, man, because your hands up, give me victory. Even when Moses was not at his best, Joshua kept on fighting. Sometimes people in the house of God are not going to be at their best. That don't mean you stop fighting.
That don't mean you stop being faithful. That don't mean you stop giving. You keep on fighting. Have a Joshua spirit. Moses might be tired. The man of God might be tired. The woman of God might be tired. But I'm going to keep on fighting. And guess what? The Bible says about Joshua that Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the sword of the edge of the sword. There's some people you're going to conquer simply because you kept on fighting when others were weak. Now stay with me. What did the Lord see? The Lord said, man, Joshua and Caleb have another spirit. Numbers 17 and 27 is 15. The Lord must have took note of Joshua. Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which they may lead out, and which may bring them in. The congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, I know who you need to pick. Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. The Hebrew word here means breath, but also wind, but also in a figurative sense, the Bible says, or the Greeks and the Hebrew scholar tell you, it means even violent. So he was saying, get Joshua. Joshua is violent. Where did the Lord notice this? Maybe in Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. So Moses was done talking to God. And Moses was done feeling the power of God. But after he was done, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. There was something about Joshua that would not be among negativity. There was something about Joshua that was ready to fight. And there was something about Joshua about being in the presence of God. But why is my question? Was he like that? What I'm giving you is not just a history lesson, but to empower you on why he was empowered. And his story actually begins before his birth. There really is not too much information at first glance of the happenings of the people of God in between the period of Jacob coming out of Egypt, living in the land of Goshen with his son Joseph, where Joseph's family lived in Egypt, and then being enslaved by Pharaoh. There's not a much history about it. We do know that God orchestrated it. We do know how Joseph got put into place. We knew the pain and suffering, yet the blessings and favor came upon Joseph. Even though he was in pain and suffering, the will of God still unfolded. Let me tell somebody, you might be in pain and suffering, but you might be in the plan of God. Being in the will of God does not necessarily mean it's a place of ease and of comfort. For Joseph, being in the will of God meant loneliness. Being in the will of God meant being understood. Being in the will of God meant you were forgotten about, and yet the Bible says he was favored. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't be favored just because you're going through something right now. There are many of you going through something right now and you think you're not favored. I digress and tell you, you are still favored. It's the plan that God has you on. It's the road that God has you on. You are still favored, Joseph. I know you are in a pit. I know you're in Potiphar's house. I know you are in a prison. I know you feel like you're alone, but you're still favored of Almighty God. God is about to promote somebody in this house. And we know everything comes together. We know Joseph is reunited with his family. We know they all moved to Egypt, to the territory called Goshen. And we see that Pharaoh ended up not knowing who Joseph was. And we know that Pharaoh enslaved the people of God. Why? Why? Well, they said that they are more and mightier than we are. I preached it before. I preach it again. The devil is after you because he knows you are mightier than him. And if he can keep you before you ever get started, he knows you're going to tear up his kingdom. His kingdom's coming down upon somebody, a young lady right now, a young man that says, I got the goods. I got the spirit of God in me. And the devil is afraid of me. So he wants to entangle us before we get there. And I'm wrapping this up right here. This is the why. So yes, they're right there. But what made Joshua so different? Here it is, 1 Chronicles 7 and verse 20. There's something revealed in this scripture in Chronicles. See, I told you that before. I read Chronicles, and I'm going as fast as I can. I can't pronounce these names. I don't know who they are. What talking about? What's going on? But there's something tucked in here. There's always some nuggets in this. So watch it. 1 Chronicles 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 20. This is the time period after Joseph, before Moses. Are you with me? After Joseph, before Moses. And the sons of Ephraim, which was one of Jacob's children, this was one of Joseph's brothers, was Shutela, Bered, his son, Tahath, his son, and Elda, his son, and Tahath, his son, and Zabad, his son, and Shutela, his son, and Ezer, and Eliad, whom the men of Gath that were born in the land slew because they came down to take away their cattle. Why did Pharaoh tell the Israelite people, the sons of Jacob, you have to live in Goshen? The reason is because the Egyptians thought anybody who was a shepherd that kept sheep or cattle were an abomination. So he separated them where they could keep their sheep and their cattle, but keep it away from us. During that time, the word of God says Gath, the people of Gath, came in that time period and they took away their cattle. And they slew the brothers, which were the kids of Ephraim. Stay with me. While during this time, they came into Egypt, stole their cattle, stole their possessions, and killed his sons. And Ephraim, their father, Joseph's brother, mourned many days, and his brethren, Reuben, Issachar, Asher, all those guys, Joseph, they came and comforted him. Verse 23, and when he went into his wife, she conceived, and she bare a different son, and called his name Beriah, because it went evil with his house. All his kids died. But he conceived another child, called him Beriah, because it went evil in his house. And his daughter was Sarah, who built Beth Horon, the nether, and the upper, and the word I cannot pronounce, neither can you. Verse 25, and Rapha was his son. Also, Resha and Tela was his son, and Tahan, his son, and Ladan, his son, and Amahud, his son, and Elishama, his son, Nan, his son, Jehosha, his son. That's Joshua, the son of Nan. Watch me. What was it that made Joshua who he was? There was a past that he refused to let go of. There was an enemy down his generations of his ancestors that killed his people. There was an enemy that stole from his family. There was an enemy, praise God, long before he was born that cursed his grandparents. There was something in his ancestral seed that he refused to let go of. Somebody told him back in your history there was a murderer. Back in your history there was somebody that got a negative ball rolling in your life. And the way you are right now is because of the enemy that moved in somewhere in your ancestral line. And what your mom and your grandmother was, you now see yourself as that as well. You all, me included, have character traits that are negative that came from our parents and their parents and their parents. That the devil came in and killed something and we mourn for it. Joshua said, I ain't letting it go. So you say, what's the point of this entire message? I found out that the Holy Ghost told me the reason why Joshua was the way he was. He says, I have always been sick and tired from my line. The devil came and killed things that were should have been mine. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I know what God put in me. I am saying it stops right here. And the reason why he had that tenacity, the reason why he had that fight, the reason why he had that prayer life, the reason why he was separated, he said, I got to get my enemy back. I'm getting back everything that was stolen from me. I'm getting rid of every generational curse. It stops with me right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that happened in my past, I bring it up. I'm going to fight my enemy. Is there a Joshua here that says, I know what's going to make me different? Is something that I say, the devil cannot take me out. The devil ain't going to continue his plan in my life. I say the devil's a liar and God has called us to be more, and I refuse not to get him back. I want you to stand on your feet right now. I feel a prophetic word coming right now. For years I studied this. I didn't get it. I couldn't understand him. Man, the majority of people could care less about God. Why are you in the middle of all that so tenacious? John says, I can't let it go. Somebody in my family was hurt. Somebody got in drugs. Somebody got in promiscuity. Somebody got in negativity. Somebody got sick. Something happened in my life. There's some past things. The devil got a hold of my parents with drugs and alcohol, and it ruined my life. There's something in my family line that I was told about. They were killed. They were murdered, and their cattle was stolen. I'm not letting that go. I'm going to pay the devil back for what he did. I'm going to pay the devil back for what he did in my wife, what he did in my father, what he did in my child, what he did in my grandparents, the things I've seen in my family history, the brokenness I have, the things I have to see and I have to deal with coming up. You don't even know the hurt and the pain people have dealt with in their childhood, the rape, the issues, the molestation, the lies, the cheating, the disappointments, the people that have felt abandonment. All those things come from the Satan himself. And Joshua understood that. So when others said, we can't take it, he says, you betcha. I know I'm going to take it. When others complain, I'm not complaining. I got something I got to get back. And if it's going to happen in my family lineage, it has to start with me. If my future is going to be different, it has to start with me. I'm not letting this thing go. I'm going to hold on like I never held on before. I'm going to conquer every demon, every devil, every giant. I'm so upset on what's happened to my family line. I am getting it back. And that's what made Joshua who he was. There was something in his past he refused to let go of. Is there anybody here that can get some righteous indignation and say, I now understand I cannot let go of the things the devil has done to my family?
Come on, that's right. Amen. Yes,
and because I'm so upset about it, and because I'm so righteously indignant about it, and because I believe that God gave me a promise, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to murmur. I'm going to fight when nobody else fights. I'm going to believe when nobody else believes. I'm going to pray when nobody else prays. Even the man of God might leave the prayer meeting and I didn't even leave the house of God. Why? I got to get the devil back. And you find out that Joshua got his land. Joshua got his territory. Joshua got his cattle. Is there anybody here right now? I said, that's going to be me. I'm taking some stuff back in the name of Jesus. I want you to come down to this altar. If you want to be a Joshua, I want you to come down and say, I'm not letting it go. I'm getting my joy back. I'm getting my family back. I'm getting my mind back. I'm walking in the power of deliverance. I'm not going to lean to the left nor to the right. Come on, there should be more people coming down right now. What are you waiting for? Are you going to be the 99? Are you going to be the one that says, I'm not letting it go? I got to get my victory back. I got to say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I refuse to be content. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to my old way. I'm not going back to my old mentality. I'm not done yet.
It's not over. When God is
in the name of Jesus, someone raise your hand right now. Lord, I want your spirit to move in this house. Give somebody another spirit. Give somebody an understanding. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But they're going to rise up this morning and say, not my house. Not my land, not my territory. Not my seed, not my future. Not my mind. I pray right now that all over this house, you would encourage your people. That in this house, somebody would say, it's not over.
I'm not letting it go until things are restored in my life. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be the best I can be. There's somebody here today.
You may not see it yet.
You need to repent of your sin. You just say, God, I'm sorry for my past. God, I'm tired of Egypt. I repent of my sin. I turn away from them. I want the promised land. I want what's for me. I don't want the old me. I want to believe. And I want to go where you want me to go. Aramasata. Yanalabaka Yalabasata Lama. What God has for me is for me. Get tenacious.
Yes.
Get tenacious today. Don't be distracted.
In the spirit, I sense something.
God has a plan. But he's looking for Joshua. Joshua, I'm looking for you. Joshua, I got promises for you. Joshua, I'm calling your name. Joshua, there's something for you. Joshua, keep your eye on me. Joshua, I'll take you there. Joshua, I'll repay you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, get upset. Get upset. Righteous indignation. Righteous fire. Righteous desire. Righteous hunger. Righteous longing. Righteous thirst. Hey! In the name of Jesus, I lose favor. I lose an anointing. Hey! I'm fighting. I'm fighting. I'm fighting. I'm fighting. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go.
God is in it.
Sing it, Jason.
There is no limit. When God is in it, it's not over.
When God is in it, there is no limit. Speaking this over your body.
It's not over.
It's not over.
I'm singing this over your wayward sons and daughters. I'm singing this over your future right now.
It's not over.
No, no, it's not over.
It's not over.
Until God says so.
He's got the last word.
And so I count it all joy.
Joy.
You make all things new.
Thank you.